put yourself to rest at night. You don't stop then. This is a constant quest. The mind never sleeps. Once I was studying martial arts system was called Dunmuk. It's called the touch of death, the black hand. It's taught to monks, to priests, for defense of the weak, to overcome the warlord's power. And its ability to touch an individual on one of 334 points on their body and kill them, or to kill them within a 3-day period, to die within 3 days after that touch. And I was saying, how can you defend yourself at night? And the master says, the mind never sleeps. What things protect you? Let your mind be around you as you go to sleep at night. And if anything steps into your mind, let your body be awakened instantly. So some of the men, being very gallant and bold, decided to sneak in and attack the master at night. They waited till he was snoring good, because they knew, you know, he snored. And he was snoring, and he was snoring. And six of them come around the bed, and they went to jump on him. And they were all on top of each other, and he was standing at the end of the bed, looking at them. And he began to laugh, and he says, the mind never sleeps. Go to bed. Interesting. Unless we're told something, sometimes we never know it. Sometimes we're never aware of it or conscious of it, unless we've been enlightened to it. The hidden things. The things that aren't obvious to the senses, obvious to consciousness in its everyday experience. But when you live an inner life, all these things are very conscious to you. Some have no inner life. They're dead spiritually. So you're gathering together your emotions. And it says, let the dry land appear. And it was so. What is the dry land? The power to manifest. The power to make slaw, make that which is moving solid. I was going to say, make solid by the law, and I said slaw. My mind is going somewhere else. The ability to make it solid by the expression of the emotions, life becomes more solid to us. By receiving our desires, life becomes more solid. Desire to walk, desire to eat and be alive. The child who does not have it dies. You have that desire already. You have that will to live, but you will not be living here. And it didn't come from your mind, it came from your spirit. But some people's mind get in the way to the will to live, and then they fall into dis-ease, not at ease any longer, or at one. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters, and called them the seas, and God saw it was good. Now, when you start expressing your emotional body, you will find that there is many solid applications to that emotional energy. There's things that bring you joy. That is solid. Earth, solid. Firm, terra firma. The solidity there. And so you will look into your emotions. You will find many emotional energies of the earth. The spiritual waters are unconditioned, you see. But now these have firmament. And have earth within them. Mind, motion, solidity, manifestation. The abilities to make firm, the abilities to bring to a solid, tangible stage. When we say earth, all of our senses come alive. All of our senses come alive to survive within the earth. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seeds and fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind. And those seeds is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whose seed is in itself. Let a like attract a like. Let a like manifest a like. Meaning a dog will always be a dog, and a tomato is always a tomato, and an apple tree is always an apple tree, and a human body is always a human body. Everything is always producing after its kind. After its kind. Let there be grass. Let there be growth. When you came in, you had to grow from that stage. Now that you're at this point, and you've come as a child, now you begin to grow. So you come in the kingdom as a child, but you're expected to become mature in the kingdom, not to become childish. You're to mature in this higher state of consciousness. How do you mature? By the unfolding of your awareness there, just as you unfolded your awareness here of this physical dimension. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seeds after his kind, and the trees yielding fruit, those seeds was of its kind and after his kind, and God saw it was good. After his kind. After God's kind. See? The seed of the tree manifesting after its kind and of his kind. Meaning in every one of the seeds is a spirit. God after its kind. His kind. Infinite, eternal. There's an eternal existence in there. Why do we keep having them keep growing? You see, the spirit of that plant wants to continue on. To produce itself. Just like the spirit of man wants to keep producing itself. What's that reproduction? Here's the reproduction cycle of reproducing. But as the grass comes and grows, and falls away, so you come and grow and fall away in the body. But the spirit, after his kind, is always the same. But did you understand that? Have you ever read it before? Did you look at it from that point? But there is the seed, and there is the spirit in the seed. His kind, God's kind, God's existence, eternal life, God's life. And the earth brought forth this grass, and the evening and the morning of the third day. The evening and the morning of the third day. Look at all of those thoughts and what they have brought you after their kind. That you've planted in the fertile grounds of your mind. And look at the emotions that have come after their kind. And look at the spirit that was in them after its kind. And was it of God? Was it an illusion? Was it light falling back on itself? It only matters to me, not nobody else. I don't care what anybody else thinks, it's just me. Well, if they don't like me, I'm just me. The ego is saying. A hopeless state. A limited bound fixation of manifestation. Not an unlimited spirit. A boundless, infinite, eternal being. And now we come to the fourth day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. the lights. A great light by day, consciousness, and a subtle light by night, subconsciousness. Now we have consciousness and subconsciousness, the lights manifesting on the fourth day. You have to realize that you have some consciousness, and there are some things that are below your consciousness level, that you're not conscious of, or above your consciousness level, that you're not consciousness of, or to the side of your consciousness, either way, or to the front or the back of your consciousness. See? For you're hovering and seeing in all directions as spirit, you're limited in tunnel vision as human perception. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night. And let there be signs and seasons and for days and years. He said, let's put time, space, and circumstance on this consciousness and subconsciousness. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven and give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater one to rule by day and the lesser one to rule by night. He made the stars also. You know what the stars are? Super consciousness. Super consciousness. The grossness of the sun, conscious mind. The subtleness of the reflection on the moon. What does the subconscious mind have? Only the reflections of what you were conscious of. And while that's always going on, the heavens are always being illuminated by every point of light, the superconscious mind, that is greater than the conscious or the subconscious. Huh? Because the conscious and subconscious are in the superconscious. You see. And when you blend those two, then you move to the superconscious state, the lights. What is light? Illumination. It illumines the room. If all the lights are off, we don't perceive anything here. No forms. If there's total darkness, there's no forms. Nothing perceivable. So if we put light, now things are perceivable. Now things can be illumined, seen, become aware of. Consciousness. Consciousness. Seeing how the code works? And if you can just understand this code, you will know the Old Testament, which is for the natural man, not for the spiritual or supernatural man. The New Testament in this Bible is for the supernatural man. The Old Testament is for the natural man, for the earth man, not for the heavenly man or spiritual man. Tells how the spirit got entangled with matter and all the things that it had to go through. And it took, and you notice how much thicker it is in the new one. See, it's simple to be in spirit. It's a gift to be simple. It's a curse to be complex. True. And God made the two great lights. And he set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Now this heaven is mind. And in mind there's a consciousness and there's a subconsciousness and there's a superconsciousness within the mind, the firmament. It didn't say there was 4 billion firmaments given to humans upon the earth, but there was one, the firmament. There's only God's mind, and you're using it by association. There's only one mind, and you're using it by association, by reference, and by reflections of it in your consciousness. And so the only thing you call your mind is your experiences with the mind. And it is limited from the mind. Look at that. Another thing the little stars give us is when we become aware of our superconscious mind, we see our Atman, our spirit body, we see a reflection of that light. And it's like a little star A little blue pearl? Little gold pearl, if you're studying that field. A little white pearl, if you're studying that one. Depends on if you're studying the Eastern mysticisms of the yogas or the esoteric powers of Buddhism, which gives the golden specks, or the Christos or Christ-like giving you the white specks when you study. I've had them, all of those, from different teachers. And each one of them, when I've merged, has given me an infinite doorway into that intelligence, that consciousness, the spirit body. But in order for me to see it, it had to be something outside of the individual self that I am. Because if it was the I am that I am, there would be no separation and no way to see it, for I would be it. I would be in a state of being, and I would not be seeing because I would be being. Seeing is blind to the spirit. And the only way you can have this 360 degree in all directions perception is to be perception, not to look through perception. The spiritual powers is to be it, to be love, to be truth, be wisdom, not to give love, to give truth, to give wisdom, to be it. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the lights from the darkness, and God saw was good, and the evening and the morning of the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundance of moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open filament of the heaven. Let's have feelings and thoughts now. Getting awareness of the feelings and thoughts. All the little things in there in the water. All them birds flying through the air. Those thoughts flying in the air. The mystical code is here. If you read the sixth and seventh chapters that were taken out of here, you would understand what I'm talking about, because those are the ones that give you the power of magic. They were taken out by the church. You can get them from the Rosicrucians, the sixth and seventh chapter of Moses, because only five of them are here in the Holy Bible. The Gutenberg Bible is so big compared to this one of all the holy books. And you had a king named James that decides that he's going to write it, and he left certain things out so he could do things. Well, I'm the king, I can take him as I please. And everyone comes along and says, well, I can do this or I can do that with the scriptures. And then you read this one's commentary and that one's commentary and someone else's commentary. And then you stand it on, say, the man says, oh, it was written by God. Well, man wrote them all. God inspired, truth inspired, God realized or perceiving, but through the hand of individual intelligence, man was this manifestation, and into the language of that man, and into the limitations of the articulation of that language. It's only a key to universal intelligence, cosmic consciousness, the divine mind of God. That's all the books and scriptures are, keys. You must sound that key in you. You must attune and sound that same key. I don't mean a metal key. I mean a vibration that opens up that book of consciousness to you. So now we have feelings. Now we have thoughts on the fifth day. And God created the great wells. Oh, I'm telling you, sometimes you have a welled up emotion inside. A whale of emotion, don't you? Sometimes it's like a little guppy. I mean, this is before he even put a human body to perceive all of these things. He hasn't made the human yet. The human hasn't come on the scene yet. I mean, the whale was created before the human. Look here. And every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after their kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. Let your mind have lots of feelings. Don't bind and get stuck on one. You see? Let it have lots of feelings. Enjoy yourself in everything. See? Let your mind think of everything. That's fine. Don't limit it. And know that each thing will come after its kind. Maybe you don't want to have a whale of emotion or joy or time. The evening and the morning of the fifth day, now the sixth. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God said it was good. Now, he didn't say anything was bad so far. Man hasn't come on the scene yet. You know, God's made it perfect. Man's going to make it better. Did you ever hear that? Well, that's what he's trying to do anyway. Trying to make it better. And God said, let's make man in our image. Now, why didn't he say in my image or I image? In our image. Now, if you're looking between the lines in this meta language at the conceptual awareness, there's something going on here. There is a creator that is creating. There is also a sustainer that is sustaining. And there's also a transcender that is transcendent. A creator, a sustainer, a transcender, a father, a son, a Holy Spirit. The father, the creator, the son carrying on the father's business, the creation, sustaining it. Huh? And then the spirit transcended above it. Did you ever see how a business starts? A man starts a business, his son carries it on, and then it goes to corporative structure. You see, it goes to the spirit. And now there isn't one person, but there's all of these people that have, it's something greater than just the people themselves. The people work for it. Do you see that? See how that principle is in business? And so when it was explained to humanity, they had it to be explained by their daily experiences. Explained to them. Because they'd fallen from direct perception. They'd fallen from direct perception. So, naturally, God men were needed to bring man back out of the darkness. He's falling. He hasn't put flesh on man yet. That doesn't happen till later, when he kicks him out of the garden for being disobedient. Because that was the first thing that man did wrong. He disobeyed. He didn't follow the law. He didn't listen to what he was told. Besides, he's going to change it or something. You see. And let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and of the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing and that creepeth on the earth. Are you ready for that dominion? What a dominion! The sea and the earth and all the creeping things. Hey, isn't done yet. Look at the dominion you have. Are you taking that dominion, or are you afraid of the wind? You're afraid of how a tree is going to fall on your house. You're going to get drowned in the water. Burnt by the fire. Don't you know you have power over all those things? I'm talking about the spiritual man. He's talking about the spirit of man here before flesh. Before man had flesh. Before the flesh. Is the spirit of man, the Hyborian race, man before he come into physical manifestation. In some of the ancient teachings, they call it the Hyborian race before the Lemurian race, which was before the Atlantean, the Aryan, to the present. So God created man in his image, and in the image of God created he, him. Male and female created he, them. In the Jerusalem Bible, it says it created man, both male and female. One is the man and one is the womb man. How do we forget the womb man and just call him woman? You know, we slur a lot of things. Words. Some say tomato, some say tomato. Some say casual and some say causal. Right? We slur things. Extraordinary instead of extraordinary. I wondered what a strord was for a while. I wanted to X out them strords. Extraordinary. How we slur things, you see. He created the womb man. Man. And God blessed them. Up to now, he wasn't doing that to the rest, has he? Here's something special. You're blessed among all things. You're blessed above all things. Is that power? I mean, a direct blessing of God. Your life directly given, blessed of God. All the scriptures, I could go through the Bhagavad Gita, I could go through the Vedic teachings, I could show you this same structure. And it would be from the point of view of that individual writer, as it is from the point of view of Moses here. Of Moses. The first five books of the Bible, written by Moses. Now we're unveiling the mysteries, aren't we? That's what the mystic does. He doesn't mystify, unveils the mysteries. Oh, what an unveiling to the mysteries. What a power and a light to the spirit of man to have that unveiling. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Who says sex is bad? That's our instructions, but you know, some people don't do it for that purpose. You see? Sense gratification. Power gratification. I got it over on her, I got it over on him. It was sensational. All of this personality stuff. When we're really blessed, can you go to God in that experience? And in all experiences, can you go to God? If they don't take you to God, then they're not taking you in the right direction, are they? Back to the Godhead, back to God, not away from God. That was the involution. We're just talking about the involution. From this point on, they talk about the evolution. That was the involution, how things involuted, how they came from that all to the individual onenesses. How it came from the all that was all-pervading, one without a second, in whom all things live and move and have their being. That which was all-pervading, down to individualizations. Can you see that? Now to go from the individualizations back to the oneness. What a movement, you see. What a movement. What a power. What a consciousness that God has given man. The dogs can't seek enlightenment. The trees can't. The wind can't. Only man. Mankind. Woman, too. She's mankind. He, she. He made them both, male and female. Replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, where there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. He didn't tell us to eat the animals. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good in the evening and the morning of the sixth day. The opening of the third eye. To use these principles within the inner consciousness. To study these 7 days. These 7 levels of creation, these 7 levels of manifestation, the abilities to bring spirit into matter, matter into spirit, divine alchemy, the consciousness that was given to you, the human, your dominion. He gave you dominion over every living thing on this earth. Every living thing. He didn't say, I give you a couple of things to play with. He says, it's all your dominion. All of it. That's your human heritage. God is your spiritual heritage. Holy Spirit is your spiritual heritage. Christ is your spiritual heritage. All the great masters from the beginning of time to the present is your spiritual heritage. Every great experience of God in creation and manifestation is your spiritual heritage. God has given you this gift to awaken to. When you reach your natural stage and then finally release from it by accepting that natural stage, you can't condemn it. You don't want to destroy it. How can you take dominion over the earth if you don't have it? You see, you must have the natural stage. You must mortify to the spirit. It must become subservient to spirit. Your mind must become subservient to spirit. Are you ready to say, God, use me? God, take my body and let it be an instrument of thy will. God, take my emotions and let them be an instrument of thy will. Take my mind and let it be an instrument of thy will and thy desire. Take my heart, my soul. Take me. Take all that I am. I give it all to you, God. Let your Holy Spirit's breath live in me. Live in me, God. Use me. Live through me, that I may know thee and only thee. Thou art my goal and my desire. There is no another, only thee. You ready for surrender? First now, to that point. Just go without eye, me, and my for a week. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work. That's it. You can't create anything else. There's nothing else to create. It's all now for recreation. Recreation. See, we even wreck it. Recreation instead of recreation. Spelt recreation, isn't it? So I'm going for recreation. Oh, to Wild. On a Wahooie, one of them islands over there, seeing dancing girls. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Becoming silent and still on that seventh movement. At the crown, it's silence, it's stillness. Be still and know God. God is everything. Be still and know everything. A simple one. Be childlike in the understanding. Don't get the complexities of mind with reason and logic and trying to figure it out and what it came in other words. Say, okay, these are the words I want to experience. I desire the experience. I believe in the experience. I am the experience. Any questions on this? Yes. I was going to study today, but I didn't get a chance, so I did my best. I beg your pardon? The devil? No, it's the reverse. Light falling back upon itself, it's reversed. It's the destruction. See, there is no such thing as destruction, is there? If everything is one, where can it go? It can't be destroyed. It can only change form. You see? So the illusion or the lie is given that word devil, which spelled, if you spell double backwards, it's L-I-V-E-E, live. It takes what's lived and turns it backwards, devil. That's where the word came from. Some mystics or teachers a long time ago turning the word life around to evil. E-V-I-L-L-I-V-E. You see, the reversing of life, evil, devil, Lucifer, the fallen ones, darkness, the prince of darkness. The black one, that one that takes your identity for itself, takes your identity away from you, takes all away from you, the unconsciousness, all the things that are opposite of consciousness, of light, of life. That's what that term is. But see, being people are caught in personalities, they have to say it's a personality. If they're caught in persons, God has to have a personality. And evil has to have a personality. So the personality of the evil is the devil. You see? And it's very interesting to have the red clothes, a tail, representing animal consciousness, and the triad, or the weapon that was used in the arena, and outside of Jerusalem, some, I think it's 30 or 35 miles, there was a city once called Hell. And it was called that in a Hebrew term, which is an English translation. And it had sulfur pits and bubbling pits. And the Romans would take the Christians out there and make them run across this very narrow boardway. And if they made it to the other side, they were innocent. If they didn't make it, they fell in these pits and died. So that proved that they were not innocent. They went to hell, to the, you know, the sulfur pits. And so the whole concept has got into some abstract form and story within the minds of people. It's like telling stories, you know, telling stories, telling stories, telling stories. And then someone writes the story down after it's been told and adapted and told many times. If I gave her a story and I told her this joke or this story and I told her to tell it to the next person, next person, next person, when it got up here to the last person and they told it, some of us wouldn't even recognize it as the same story that we began with. Because man from his own point of view, or woman from her own point of view, will give their interpretations of it, you see. And so the interpretations of looking at that darkness and relating to all of the lie or that which isn't real or reality, those things, then was called the devil. So there had to be duality or there would be no free will. there had to be a choice to make, you know, ability to make choice, or there would be no reason for choice. So if there's no duality, then there's no free will. There's no deny and decree. There's no up and down. There's no in and out. There's no you and me. Isn't that wonderful? Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of our will so we can have God's will. Other questions? Yes. Well, if you say it wasn't planned, then he has no free will. And it tells us very clearly in all the scriptures, man was given free will. So I don't know whose stories you're listening to, but the scriptures don't tell you that. What scripture tells you that? Or is this a philosophy book or someone's point of view of it? Well, now you got somebody's point of view. It had a writer. Okay, that man, whoever wrote it, that's his point of view. This is Moses' point of view. Some have taken, lost the name of Moses and said, God wrote it. You know, set it to the typewriter and banged it out one night and said, this is the way it is. Humans, take this and deliver it. Archangel Michael, it's all written out for them. They go, oh, what is this? Words on a page? What's a word? They had to figure out words before they made words. If God gave us dominion over all of these things, then nothing is said. That's work of darkness. It tells you that you're bound and you can't make any changes and you're not free. Well, if you're going to fall off the cliff and you're walking towards it, don't turn. Don't turn. You can't turn. You must go forward. You must keep walking. You know you're going to fall over, but that's the only way you can go now. That's because I tell you, you can only go that way. But in your mind, you say, wait a minute. I can turn to the right. I can turn to the left. I can back up. I can stop. And someone's saying, oh, no, you can't. The only way you can go is to straight and fall over. You see? So now you have one point of view. One point of view. This is only one point of view. And my interpretation is only one point of view. And what you are perceiving is from one point of view. But when we forget these points of view and come to oneness, then there is no mystery and there's no differences and it's all realized. Adam blew it, yeah. Some say Adam blew it, you see. He fell down and he blew it. And they took out all the lost books of Eden. Look for the lost books of the Bible and the books of Eden. There's a book out. It's the scriptures. It's authentic. It'll tell you about those times where... You know why they took it out? Because in it it says, and Adam cast himself off the cliff onto the rocks and smote himself. God breathed life into Adam again. Sounds like reincarnation. Okay. Nope, you can't believe in reincarnation, though, see, because you're being taught to ascend, so you don't want to come back. So they take everything out for coming back. Don't pay attention to that. This is the path of ascension. But if you want reincarnation, then we'll go put those back in, see. But somebody along the way said, okay, the church will tell the people what to do. They can't understand these things. We'll tell them. So we'll be the intermediary between them and God. Who told you you had to have an intermediary? Who told you you can't go back directly to your parent? Call up and say, hello, sis, can you ask Dad this? But your dad's sitting right here. No, I'm not allowed to talk to Dad. See, I can only talk to you because I'm not good enough to talk to Dad. Can you ask Dad for me? What do you mean you won't ask him?
What do you mean telling me that all I have to do is just go up there and say hello? No, you say hello for me, and then tell me what he says. Because if I go direct, you know, he might not say hello. Then I might get hurt because he didn't answer me. Another question. That's what some of us do, right? Jesus, will you ask him for us? Buddha, will you? How about you, Krishna?